Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. All right. Well, it's great to be with you, and I just need to make a decision on where I'm going to start. Oh, my. Okay. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5. Over the last few weeks, it's been very heavy in my spirit what I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about, and I've gone into some conversations with people about some of these topics, and then some stuff has been happening here at the church that has really, you know, sort of made me examine myself, if that makes any sense. And, you know, the Bible says that you should examine yourself. You know, we should constantly be examining ourselves, you know, for various reasons. But let's take a look at this, and we'll move through it, and then we'll discuss it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Now, I mean, I just want to stop right there. I don't know about you, but that's like, that's a heavy statement. And he's talking to a church. He's writing a letter to a church. And he's saying, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? So he's saying to the church, are you really a Christian? Because if Jesus is in you, you're a Christian. If he's not in you, you're not. Now, I just want to stop right there for 1 second, because this theologically is extremely challenging. And I mean, you know, how can Paul write a letter asking the church if they really are saved? But I thought that when we just say, Lord, I give my life to you, that's it. That's it. I got my ticket. And then I'll just, you know. But there's a statement. Now, when I got there, in the Bible, it was there. I didn't put it there. Okay? I didn't go and change the text. And you can check any version of any Bible. It says the same thing. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I thought we can't be disqualified. Let me tell you something. Hell is very real. You can ask me. I looked at hell last week, face to face. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. There's a scripture that says that Jesus is the light of the world. And then it asks you about, your eyes are the lamp of your soul, and what your eyes see, and it speaks about light and darkness. And then it says, when it speaks about what you allow in you, it speaks about how great is that darkness if darkness is in you. And this whole week I've been struggling so much with all of this theology. Because theologically we can prove this and theologically we can prove that, but what does the word say? Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you know, that pastor said, well, I don't really care what that pastor said. What does the word say? I want to know what the Bible says. I don't want to know what Pastor Joe Soap said and what Pastor, you don't know what Pit Pompies means. It's a South African saying, okay? But it's a really good saying in South Africa, Pit Pompies, okay? I don't know what Pit Pompies is thinking either, or you know, Mark, Neil, Diamond, whoever. I've got no idea, okay? We all have a lot to say. I have a lot to say. But what does the Bible say about this stuff? And let me tell you something. When you face the darkness, you realize in an instant that there is such a major war, battle going on. And whose side are you on and what's in you? Is the truth in you or is the truth not inside you? Because if the truth isn't in you, then you don't have the truth in you. But do we base our entire walk on making a decision and now that's it? So, well, now I can live how I want, do what I want, believe what I want, but I've made a choice. Well, the question this morning is, who is Jesus to you? And who is he to me? Because there's two examples in the Bible that I want to point out. We're going to go there in just a minute. But before I move on from here, because I want to show you how Paul approaches this situation. And he basically says to the guys, I'm not asking you this question to condemn you, but to edify you. Now watch, let's look at it. Let's read further. Let's start from the beginning. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that we should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now there's the key. The key is the truth. Do you have the truth in you or don't you? Amen. Amen. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. So in other words, he's saying, listen, I'm going to come in and I'm going to beat you and sort you out with the scripture, not to try and make you feel bad, but so that I can put the truth back inside you. Because the word is the truth and we must obey the truth of the word. So many Christians are so afraid of the supernatural power of God. So they hide from it. Because maybe if I go there, I'll become false. Well, here's the facts. You run far greater risk of being false if you don't have the supernatural in your life. Man, man, we need to frame that and put it on the wall somewhere. We don't want to go to the book of Acts. We don't want to talk about what happened after the resurrection. Because it's just a little bit out there. And they were praying in tongues. And there were miracles and signs and wonders. And it's just, you know, it's a bit of a story. So we don't go there. We don't want to go there. So much of the church is afraid to touch the things that are not normal to us because it doesn't make sense to our carnal, natural mind. So when it becomes supernatural, it's like, I'm so afraid. I don't want to go there. It makes me uncomfortable. What if I become false? What if it's not right? So we'll stay on the side that says, well, I'm just going to be safe. I'm not going to go there. Man. But the truth isn't completely in you then. Because the Jesus that we read about, and I can tell you it's not just a story. That Jesus, man, he doesn't, that's not the Jesus that I hear about. And so the truth must be in us. We must preach the truth of what the word says. Not make it nice or comfortable so that it suits us and makes it pleasurable. Are you guys okay? All right, let's quickly go. Now, I'm going to read. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 11, verse number 1. And I will give you a minute to get there. Those of you that can't handle waiting, it's because the dopamine level in your head is not coping with the fact that we haven't gotten them to begin to read. You need to watch Brad Huddleston's teaching. You'll understand what I'm saying. Amen. All right. Matthew 11, verse number 1. Okay. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Let's stop there. This is the same John the Baptist that said, when seeing Jesus come down the river, "Behold the Lamb of God," recognizing very well who he is. But then all of a sudden, when things get a little bit difficult for John and he's in prison, he gets a little upset and sends two of his disciples to Jesus and says to him, "Listen, I just want to know, like, are you the one that they spoke about?" Now, you've got to go to the Jewish mind, okay, to understand. Because as far as they were concerned, the Messiah was coming. And the Messiah would come and the Messiah would cause, like, almost like a revolution. And that they would, he would rise up as the king and defeat the Jewish, the Italians. Amen. Those bad Italians, you know. And he would rule. Amen. And they would no longer be in bondage. Does that make sense? So now he doesn't understand because, yeah, he behold the Lamb. He comes and he recognizes him as the Messiah. And he's you know, everything is coming to pass. And the next thing, he's in jail. So what on earth? So he sends his disciples and he says, "Listen, Jesus, Messiah, are you the one? Or should we wait for another?" Now, when we get saved, some of us are like that. We kind of feel like, well, you know, now we've given our lives to Jesus, so everything is just going to be fine. And so when it gets a little bit tough, we do exactly the same thing. Well, are you really Jesus Christ? Are you really the Messiah? Are you really the one who set the captive free? Are you really the one who said, now things are going to get better, that now I'm going to be saved, that now I'm going to be free, that now I'm going to be rich? Are you really that one? And immediately we begin to question and to doubt. But I like Jesus' style. Because Jesus doesn't answer him. He doesn't answer the question that they ask the way John wants him to answer it. He answers the question, watch this now, with the truth. He doesn't say, "John, I am the one. You just don't understand. You know, you thinking I'm coming like this." He just answers with truth. What is the truth? Let's take a look. Verse number 3. And he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John," watch, "the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended by me." Listen. Sin is bad for you. Don't take offense. It's the truth. Listen, tithing is good for you. Don't take offense. It's the truth. "Well, Pastor, you know, actually we can sin and it's okay if we sin because we've been made righteous." I got it. I understand that. It's the truth. But we also need to seek righteousness. I've taught you all this stuff. This is the last in the episodes of the Heart series. I didn't realize it until about 5 seconds ago. Actually, I've come to the conclusion that God will keep me there probably till I die. Because it all comes down to that, guys. Don't try to take the word to make yourself feel better. You have got redemption. You have got freedom. You have got a way where there seems to be no way. You have that. But that doesn't mean that your heart must become wicked. Hallelujah. And complacent and accept those things that are not good and call them evil. I call them good. Those, you know what I mean. Amen. Those things that are evil and call them good. You got it. Amen. Do you understand? You cannot call those things that are evil good and think it's okay. It's not. Now, my message today is not to make anybody feel bad. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to teach us this morning, you and me, that we have to never take the word to try and make it what we want it to be, or listen to some guy out there that now has come to the conclusion that, well, we're just going to go idly by. You will never change anything. I've prophesied to you, this generation. I've prophesied to you that we're going to take the harvest. Why? Because we're going to be that generation that stops looking for a way out. We're going to be the generation that says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay, I know I mess up, Lord. But I don't want to be and live in that place, Lord. I'm going to pick myself up, Lord. I'm going to keep going, Lord. Amen. You see, here's the problem. The dead are raised. The deaf hear. The poor hear the gospel preached to them. There's a powerful message. A demonstrative message that we no longer want in the church. Somebody said to me that they came to our church once, and while they were sitting in the church, that there was so much like energy in the church. So it's a little bit crazy, but there was all this, it was this feeling that they had. What is that? That's the movement of the Spirit. That's the presence of God. Now that doesn't mean we do everything right, because we don't, but we're trying. Amen. We really are trying to do it right. Is that okay? Now, I'm going to talk about the other side too. Why are so many people so against the supernatural? They're so against it because it's been abused. Listen here. Mike, come stand here. Yeah, Mike. Yeah. I did tell you to stand there. I know. I'm sorry. Okay. If Mike... Man, I'm just coming. I'm talking to you from the heart. Is that okay? Yeah. Listen, Mike. If I pray for you, if I pray for him, and he doesn't get healed, please don't tell me you didn't get healed. Or please don't tell me you got healed. Yeah. If you didn't get healed, I don't want false testimony.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't want false. I want the truth. I want it to be real. Yeah. Is that okay? Don't feel bad. Listen. If you are up here and you get prayed for and nothing happens, you can say nothing has happened, so that we can pray again and ask Him to heal you again, so we can keep praying, because we're all on this journey together. Is that okay, guys? But don't say, I feel better, and go back to your seat and the pain is still there, because then we're all lying. I've witnessed it so many times. The church getting chaotic. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. In that freedom. No, it's not a freedom. It's a mess, man. We want to try to have the balance. What is the balance? Well, you see, the balance is this. The balance is the truth. The balance, it is what it is, or it isn't. it can't be, it's got to be the truth. So if it's not in here, then it's not the truth. Is that okay? Well, something happened over there, Pastor. Well, tell me what happened. This happened, Pastor. Is it in the Word? Yes, Pastor. Well, then let's go. I'm coming with you. But if it's not in there, you're on your own, brother. If you want to go there, I'm not coming with you. If it twists the truth, you want to know how to behave in church? Go read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Tells you exactly what a church service is supposed to be. I took 1 Corinthians 14 with the e-course on Saturday. Every time I'm blown away. By what? By the words on the page. Because it's the truth. Are you guys okay? Okay. Now, let's go to 1 John 2, verse number 3. I can guarantee you the second service is going to be totally different today. So if you want to come to a different service after this, just stay. Okay. 1 John 2, verse number 3. By this we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, he who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Amen. Amen. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It means that the word is how you judge yourself. According to the word. If the truth is in you, you will do what the word says. Not take the word to make it fit you. Not take the word to make you feel better. Well, actually, the word must make you feel better. But what I'm trying to say is to try and justify. You don't need the word to justify you. You've already been justified. Jesus has already justified you. So when we make a mistake, that's okay. We can pick ourselves up. But don't try and get yourself to a place where you get to a lifestyle or think, well, I'm okay. I can continue to live just like this. Do this thing. Continue like that. Well, you know, nowadays, if you're homosexual, you can get married in church. Okay. Well, where does that say that in the Bible? Because I can't find that scripture. Please, somebody find it. Nowadays, let's just get divorced all the time and remarried and divorced and remarried and that's all okay. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. So something's wrong. But I'll tell you what we get upset about. You know, well, Pastor Alex, I went to Mulligan's and, you know, I happened to see, let me find a target that won't take offense quickly. Okay, I'm struggling a little bit. Okay, I saw Tara, and she was having a glass of wine. Pastor Alex, she's so bad. Well, show me the scripture. Show it to me. It says she can't have a glass of wine. Easy, Tiger. The Bible says you mustn't be drunk. I'm a leader, and I don't like my leaders to drink. I don't drink. I don't want my leaders to drink because I think leaders shouldn't drink. That's my opinion. If you want to be on leadership here, that's how it'll be. I'm not putting you under the law. I'm not making you not free. Listen, the same way that we should be an example when we go into the world, how can we sit with people who are alcoholics, struggling with alcohol, and how can we drink in front of them? We can't. That's why we don't drink, not because we're not allowed to. But if you get drunk, you have a problem. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. I won't go to that church because I heard that church, the pastor said that it's okay to drink. Listen, I'm not telling you it's okay to drink, but I'm telling you that in your own home, if you want to have a glass of wine with your husband and you're not in some form of leadership position and people aren't looking at you and you can cause him to stumble, I don't have a problem with it. Why don't I have a problem with it? Because the Bible doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Listen, Jesus drank wine. Don't come and tell me it wasn't fermented this way. And all. Don't talk junk, man. He drank wine. But he was never drunk. He had to shock the religious just a little bit. Oh, but hang on a second. So you agree with, you know, well, Pastor Alex, you know, I saw that leader drinking. And you walk in here with your little skirt up to here. You ain't going to be in leadership either. Because you're also doing the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Leading someone to stumble. Oh, well, the men must control themselves. Oh, man, what are you talking about? Of course the men must control themselves. But don't try and cause men to stumble. By coming in with the tightest jeans that you can. By coming in with the shortest skirt that you can find. Otherwise, all the men are going to have to pluck out their eyes. I'm not saying you can't dress nice. I'm not saying you can't look pretty. You must. It's good. But be wise. Don't be religious. Be wise. Is that okay? Some truth bombs this morning. Is that okay? Oh, well, Pastor, you know, if the girls are not allowed to wear a short skirt, well, the guys must never have their shirt off. Okay. I don't want to go there this morning because I'll really like start preaching. It's our responsibility in the church to be an example, right? So be wise, guys. Be wise in how you conduct yourself because the world is always watching you. I don't even know how I got here, but let's just move on. Amen. So we obey what God says we should obey. Right? Not what the pastor said. Or what that one said. What does the word say? Amen. 1 John 1:5. Actually, hang on. Let's quickly go to another verse and we'll come back here. Let's go to Matthew 16:13. Don't worry, I am going somewhere. Listen here, guys. Oh. Oh, you're going to be upset with me. But you know what? Hey, when you dress provocatively, don't tell me you don't know what you're doing. Don't tell me you're not looking for attention. Don't tell me that because you're lying. Oh, no, Pastor, I just want to look pretty. And then you don't understand why the guys are all falling off the bus in church. Because it becomes exactly what we've taught. That then doesn't become enough for the guys that struggle with that. Then they've got to go further because they keep on coming to church and seeing you with your tight skirt. Next week I'll teach something really nice, okay? Bring the truth. Man, we are. The problem is, we're all guilty, guys. Every one of us. You know, I'm going after this, but the fact is, there's things all of us we need to work on, and we need to consider: are we a stumbling block, and are we living according to the truth? Okay, let's go. All right, I'll be nice now. Amen. Okay, Matthew 16, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? That I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And that's the question that every one of us need to answer. Who do you say that he is? Who is he to you? Is he really who he says he is, or is he not? Now, let's quickly jump to where we were going to go just a minute ago. Let's go to 1 John 1, chapter number 1, verse number 5. Now, keep that in the back of your mind. Who do men say that I am? Who is he to you? Now, watch. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So the question is, if you truly believe that he is who he says he is the light of the world. He brings light and not darkness. He doesn't cause to stumble, he causes to rise up. He wants you to be all that you've been called to be. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. He is purity. He was born of a virgin. Do you believe that he was born and he died on that cross? And do you believe that he rose again? Because these are the quick questions that you must ask yourself. Do you believe that he is the light of the world, or don't you? I did deliverance once. I was in a youth meeting and I walked up to a young man that was busy praying for somebody else. And I knew something was wrong. There was a young man that actually came to me before I went to pray for him. And he said to me, "Pastor Alex, something's wrong over there." Well, it wasn't Pastor Alex. I was just Alex, just the youth leader. He said, "Alex, something's wrong. I feel something's wrong." And I looked over and I could feel what he was feeling. I felt something was wrong. Walked over to the leader, stood behind him and watched him praying. And while he was praying, all that kept on coming to my mind was false Jesus. And I thought to myself, how can I pray for this? I put my hand on his shoulder from the back of him while he was praying. My hand on his shoulder. And I said, "Lord, I said, I break the power of a false Christ, a false Jesus," and he dropped. And the demon started screaming coming out of him. Because he'd created an idol in his mind that was not the truth. That's why I ask you this morning, is the truth inside you? Don't take the word and change it and modify it to become comfortable so that it's easy for you, and you'll sit in church for 15 years, 20 years, and finally one day when the truth confronts you, all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. Why? Because for 15 years you've been listening, or you've had an image of a Jesus that isn't really who he is. Who is the Jesus that the Bible says? Who is that Jesus? He is the man that was born of the virgin. He is the one who is the Son of God. The God, which God? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And listen to me, he will always be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And the Bible says that he will be that God forever. Forever. That didn't change. Same God. Now we have this Christ. This Jesus, who was in the beginning. He was the Word, and he was in the beginning. And he is the Word, and he was the Word, and he's still the Word. And it's the truth. That's why the Word is so important. That's why when you want to know whether it's real or whether it isn't real, take the Word and judge it with the Word. Because the Word will be your final authority. Verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this evening, this morning. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I don't really want to go to church, Pastor. You know, those Christians, you know. I'll serve God at home on my own. I don't know what, you know, I didn't put it there, guys. Is that okay?
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to John 14, verse number 1. I'm nearly done. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to read it in a minute. Just take it down for 1 second and we'll go back there. It is our responsibility. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. You have to go and examine yourself, like I said right at the beginning, and make sure that the truth is inside you. Because if the truth, if the light isn't in you, we're in danger of being disqualified. Now, theologically, that may challenge you, but I can't. The Bible, not me. Guys, is that okay? There isn't a week that goes by where I have to constantly examine myself. Every week, before I get up here, I'm before God wondering how things are going in my life. How my relationship is with him, making sure that I'm staying with him, that I'm sticking to him, that I'm listening to him, that I'm walking with him. Because if I don't, what will happen to me and to some of you? You have to take all of it. Because the truth is revealed in all of him. Now watch. We all know this, but this is powerful. John 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. This is very beautiful. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Now watch. Because Jesus makes a statement here that is a statement that we have to grasp with all of our heart. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything comes down and ends and begins with Jesus. It all comes down to him. He is the only way. There is no other way. Don't listen to what everybody tells you. What does Jesus say about it? He is the way. Listen to me. Well, they say this and they say that. Well, I want to know what the truth is. And the truth is what he says, and what he says goes. Is that okay? So he's not only the way, but he's also the truth. Now, how do you want to know? You want to know how to become free? You want to know how to become set free? Well, let me tell you, he's also the life. That means that he will bring life to you. He will restore you. He will build you up. He will lift you out of any situation. Doesn't matter how bad it's going. Doesn't matter how dark it is. He is the life. Now let me tell you something, that the life, within the life is the light of God. And that light must shine bright inside you. The light must become a reality to you. The word must begin to fill your heart. Because the more of the word, the more of the life that you have in you, the more light you have in you. And let me tell you something, then when you face the darkness cannot comprehend it. What is this light that I see? What is this light? When you stand in front of demons, they don't want to look at you because you have the light inside you. So they'll do everything in their power to look away because they don't want to see you. Why? Because the word of God is in you. But the word must be truth. The word must be life. It's the only way. There is no other way. If you don't have the way, the truth, and the life inside of you, listen to me, you are in deception and you run the risk of becoming disqualified. Well, Pastor, I can't be disqualified. Okay. That's okay. One way, one truth, one life. We are so consumed with now that we'd forget about eternity. And what we do on this earth affects everything. There's so much I want to tell you, but I cannot right now. Because it's sensitive right now. But I will tell you. Don't worry, I'm not, I haven't fallen into sin. It's nothing like that. Amen? I'm still okay. It's got nothing to do with that. I want to share with you some things that God showed me this week. The enemy, the way he speaks, how he operates. Everything that is evil is the enemy. I did deliverance one day, and when I got home, my wife put on a recording for my daughter at school. And in the recording, the person was saying things like stupid and just silly stuff. And I was standing making coffee and I could feel the words hitting my spirit. Because in the deliverance before that, I was hearing those same words come out of the mouth, but it was a demon speaking. And the darkness was so strong and so bad that I couldn't handle hearing those words. Now you might think, well, he's stupid. That's how the enemy works. Subtle. But if there's darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, we take that scripture that speaks about the eyes, and we think that it's what we look at. Because if you look at bad things, then your soul will become dark. But let me tell you, it's also got a lot to do with your spiritual eyes. What you're allowing into you through whether you see it, hear it, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is we're doing, whatever we allow, that it comes into us, it becomes a part of us, and it affects the light inside you. As Christians, there's only one way, guys. There's only one truth, and that's that word. And I don't need to hear 1,000 sermons. I need to know, what does the Bible say? If you haven't given your life to Jesus, man, you need to do it. If you don't mean business with Him, you need to do it. If you don't, you're going to hell.
Come on.
There's no other place. Well, don't say hell. You're going to hell. If you haven't given your life to Him, you're going to hell. Don't play games. Don't play games. Don't play games, guys. I mustn't play games. You mustn't play games. Let's take this stuff seriously. We are in a war.
That's right.
Oh, no, we're not in a war. Yes, we are. We're in a war. He said it. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. There is no other way. No one comes to the Father. And that goes for eternally. That goes for right now. While you're spending time here, you want to get to Jesus. You want to get to God. You want your prayers to break through. Listen. The way, the truth, and the life. No other way. There's no other way. Is that okay? Okay. Let's pray. Father, this morning, in this place, we thank you that your word is truth, Lord. And Father, my prayer this morning is that we will take the truth, your word, and we will make it our reality. Father, I have heard them say, well, you know, Noah was just a story. It didn't really happen. And I've heard them say, well, the Bible says, well, you know, if you can't control the lust of your flesh, you should just go and do something about it. And that's why I watch pornography. Father, how can we take the truth and pollute it so that we can lie? And then, Father, the truth is no longer in us. But yet we will take things that are not of significance and make them a truth. And condemn everybody. Father, let us use your word in our lives. Let us look at your word. Let us look at Jesus. And then we examine ourselves. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the life that we have. Thank you for grace and forgiveness. And Lord, that we can make mistakes and we can keep going. But Lord, let us not take the truth and change it to suit ourselves. Yes. Father, this morning I pray that any person that is in here this morning that needs to really give their heart to you and say, I don't want the darkness. I don't want to choose that stuff anymore. I want to give my life to you this morning, Father, even if it's one person that this morning says, Lord, I'm in business with you. I want to give my heart to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will begin to move right now. Right now in this place. Even for the online viewers. If you have been serving the Lord, you've been following him, but your life is not right. It doesn't tell the story. It doesn't show the way. It doesn't show the truth. It doesn't show the life. If that's you and you're in this place this morning and you want me to pray for you, please lift your hand up quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you. Anybody else all over the place, lift up your hand quickly and I'll include you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. So many of you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Online as well. If you say, Pastor Alex, I also want to this morning. I want to live my life the way the book says I should. Then I give my heart to him this morning. Now, Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you have done this morning. Can I ask every one of us to please stand? Please stand. If you lifted your hand up this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me, but I'm not asking you to pray this prayer so that we can have a count of how many people gave their hearts to Jesus and we can all go home feeling better. I'm asking you to pray this and mean it from the bottom of your heart because your life is important to God. Your salvation, your eternity is important to God. And we are living in a time where the darkness in this world is becoming so strong. But at the same time, the light of God, the light of life, Jesus the Christ, is crying out and saying, pick me. And I will deliver you. I will set you free. I will heal you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever comes to me will have a way to the Father. So let's all pray this together this morning. And those of you that lifted your hand, just pray from with all of your heart. And at the end of the service, if you want to come and let me pray for you, I'll pray for you. If you don't, that's okay. But if you want me to pray for you, come at the end of the service and I'll pray for you. Let's all pray. Father, this morning I come to you. I give my life to you. I choose to follow you. I make you Lord of my life. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole. Make me new. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. 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 And so, Father, this morning we love you so much. And Lord, we want your word to edify us, to build us up, to encourage us. But Father, we want that light that is you to shine brighter in our hearts every single day, Father. That we will walk and we will talk and we will be with you always. Father, for we are in this world, but we are not of this world. For we are yours. We belong to you. And Lord, I pray that from this day on, you will strengthen us, encourage us. And Lord, let us take your word to judge every word that gets spoken over our lives. That your word is truth. And there is no other truth but your word. And so we give you thanks and praise. And Lord, let us walk out of here refreshed, renewed, and ready to fight the good fight of faith. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Come back tonight. I'm going to tell you what God is saying to this church right now about our future.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.